Welcome to Up to Date. I'm Steve Kratzky. Kansas City Mayor Sly James has been battling snow, crime, and critics of streetcars, all the while looking for ways to give the Kansas City, Missouri School District a boost. Good morning. The mayor is in the house, and we'll talk about all those issues in KCI, and we'll take your questions for the mayor, too, at 816-235-2888. Again, 816-235-2888 to ask the mayor a question. Brian McTavish will swing by later on this hour with your weekend to-do list. But first things first, and that means Mayor Sly James. Mayor, always good to have you drop by. Thanks for taking some time.
Steve, it's always good to see you, and it's always good to be on the show.
Well, you've got so many balls up in the air. How are you managing to keep them all up in the air at the same time?
Well, fortunately, I'm blessed with having what I consider to be the best staff any mayor could possibly ask for.
It helps.
Well, it's not just help. It's absolutely vital.
Yeah.
There's no way I could do it without them paying attention to details and allowing me to be more big picture until we get to a point we really have to focus. But the other thing, too, is that I'm really energized by the city. We have a lot of collaborative efforts going on, a lot of partnerships going on.
What's the best single thing going on in this town right now, Mayor?
This huge attitudinal change about who we are versus who we can be. That's driving everything. It is absolutely foundational to getting things done, is the desire to get them done. And we are very fortunate with being a magnet now for some young talent coming into this community. I was with the governor at the jobs announcement earlier in the week, and he said something that I hadn't heard before, and that is that the state of Missouri is leading all the other states in terms of the increase in tech jobs. Well, what he didn't say, but what has to be true, is that in the state of Missouri, Kansas City is leading. That's something that we need to build on, and we are. The arts are blossoming and collaborating at a higher rate than they've ever done before. There's optimism about transforming the city through the use of streetcar. There's obviously a very interesting debate about what we're going to do with our 40-year-old airport. Schools are in the focal point of being looked at, hopefully with an eye towards creating a system of world-class, not just to credit it, but world-class education so we can compete on the international stage. KC Nova is geared up and ready to go, and we're praying and hoping for results that result in lowered violence rates in the city. All those things are good things.
All those things are going on, and it's been snowing a lot, too. You know, you may have noticed.
I did a couple of times, as a matter of fact.
What's your assessment of how well the city did in terms of keeping the streets, you know, clear of snow? Some residential folks obviously upset it took too long for the plows to get to their streets. What's your sense of how the city did?
I think the city did an excellent job, frankly. And I know that, you know, there's going to be people that are upset about their street. And I understand that and appreciate that. But the problem is that we're stuck with the city that we grew. It's a big city, 316 square miles, 6,300 miles of roads. And, you know, we plow the equivalent of San Diego to Boston and back every time it snows. We had 200 trucks on the road doing stuff. And, you know, if people understand how we prioritize, we have to keep the arterials and the main roads free. Just think of it like this. The streets that carry the most traffic in descending order of the amount of traffic they carry will be the way that we plow. Obviously, we have to make sure that we can get first responders, police, fire, ambulances to the major parts of the city.
Yeah. You know, when it snows like that, Mayor, is the money to pay for all of that work, is that budgeted, or are you having to take money from other budgets to sort of account for all that?
It's budgeted up to a point.
Yeah.
You know, we do budget for it, but, you know,
are we over budget now?
I don't know that we are or not, Steve, to be honest. I haven't checked with the manager. He hasn't said that we are. I think that, you know, we're probably getting close. But what's happening is, and this is another thing we ought to be happy about, people are calling us to buy our salt because they don't have enough. They're asking us for help on things because they don't have enough.
Other cities, you mean?
Other cities, yes, mm-hmm. And the state. So we're able to, you know, offset any budgetary issues by selling some of the excess that we have. Now, I can't tell you sitting here right now whether or not we're in balance or not, but it doesn't matter. I know we budgeted what we thought was an adequate amount. I don't think that we've gone over it based on the amount of snow that we've had.
So you're a salt hoarder.
Oh, you know what? It's better to have too much than too little.
Yes.
Especially when you need it.
Yeah. Well, the state of Missouri, let's turn to schools. You know, the state of Missouri is trying to figure out, you've already alluded to this, what in the world to do with the unaccredited Kansas City School District. Academic performance remains still a big issue here. A couple of weeks ago, you convened a day-long summit of community leaders at Bartle Hall, Mayor, to come up with a list of recommendations to give to the state education department. You've declined to say what your group recommended. Can you say now?
No, but I can talk to you about where we were and about some of the basic things. First of all, I want people to understand that the fact that KCPS is unaccredited does not mean that every school is unaccredited. There are some schools performing quite well in the Kansas City public school system. Obviously, nobody wants the tag of unaccredited, and they're working hard, I think, to try to rid themselves of that. But what we did with our group on the first was we brought people together and said, there are four or five plans out here that are being talked about. What in those plans are common? Can we agree on the common issues in the plans? And we had to be careful because in a day, on a subject this complex, we're really somewhat limited to looking at the big picture items.
Yeah.
You can't get into a wide-ranging discussion about the tactics to achieve the goals. That would take forever. But what we were able to do is to say we think that the KCPS needs to remain in existence, at least as an LEA, because in doing so, they have certain abilities to affect education that they wouldn't if they were not. That we wanted to have a community focus, not just on the district, but on individual schools.
But why is it so important to keep the Kansas City, Missouri school district intact at this point? So a lot of folks saying that we've had success in parceling out schools to other districts in recent years, a sense that maybe this district has sort of been through the rigmarole so long, the brand is damaged so badly that maybe it's time to try something else.
Well, I think that there's a reason to do it, and one of the reasons is that their demographic, despite the fact that around the edges the demographics soften, the demographics of KCPS require, I think, a different approach.
Than what other school districts provide.
What other school districts provide. I think that we need wraparound services that are not currently in place. We have to remember, and this is kind of a vicious circle, but we have to remember that the kids that come to school in a lot of places in this city come from a place where the night was not peaceful and quiet, where it wasn't mom and dad tucking you into bed. Mm-hmm. It might have been mom tucking you into bed, might have even been dad tucking you into bed, but it might have been in a neighborhood where gunshots are being heard. There are a lot of things that need to be corrected for. And we need to recognize that the social environment from which the children come is just as important to their learning process as the academic environment they go to. So we've got to affect that in some way. That's why KC Nova is so important to reduce the level of violence. That's why wraparound services to provide those things that kids need on a day-to-day basis.
You're talking about school lunches, after-school care, those kinds of things.
School lunches, after-school care, dental care, the ability to recognize problems that a child may be having on either a mental level, an academic level, and to get on top of those early on. To provide services to the kids' parents to make sure that the parents are in the school. Some schools have gone so far as to say, you know what, bring your laundry to the school. You can do your laundry while you're at PTA, and you don't have to go to a laundromat. So the parents are now at the school getting something done that's important to them. And that's the type of thing that sometimes can be instrumental. We want to do everything we can to encourage parent involvement, but we need to recognize that parents in a lot of circumstances simply don't have enough resources or know how to access resources.
Mayor Sly James is in the house. He's our guest this hour. Today, Mayor, as you look at the entire district, how much confidence do you have in the local school board? How much confidence do you have in Superintendent Stephen Green today?
I have a great deal of confidence in Dr. Green, particularly the longer he stays. One of the biggest credibility boosters for a superintendent in this district would be to be here for longer than 3 years.
Isn't that the truth?
You know?
Yeah.
And I think when you look at other districts that have made improvements, then it's been because their leadership has been consistent over an extended period of time. Now, I will say that I tend to be a little more bold, perhaps, in my thought processes than others might be. I think that we need to start looking at real change, not just incremental change.
Well, the state education commissioner, Chris Nicastro, the state education school board, is looking at big change, this whole new idea of a big change in the way this district would be managed and administered. What do you make of it? That's a big change.
I think it is a big change, and I think that at this point, what we really need is we need to have changes that are going to have major impacts in terms of learning, that people will not immediately react so violently against that it interferes with the ultimate goal. I just think that sometimes the mere fact of something different being put on the table, people just go off the deep end. And rather than say, well, okay, well, how does this work? How does this achieve the ultimate goal of educating our kids and having a world-class academic environment? It gets down to adult issues. You know, how does this affect teachers? How does this affect tenure? How does this affect contracts? How does this affect money? And I think that we need to separate those things and look at what are those elements that we know lead to higher academic performance. Because as as Ralph Smith of the Annie Casely Fund.
Casey Fund. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Said to me once, she said, there's a big difference between what we know and what we do. Mm-hmm. And we know a lot about what's going to work with kids. We do very little of it sometimes.
Now, this is so difficult because on the one hand, you and so many others are saying the school district wants continuity. It wants stability. Now you've got it with Dr. Green. At least it seems that way today. And on the other hand, you have the state swooping in here calling for huge change. And you just sort of wonder where that leaves the patrons of the district, much less the kids themselves.
Well, the patrons of the district should be focused on exactly where the kids are. A lot of our disagreements and arguments, I think, could be minimized or eliminated if we always come back to and keep in the forefront of our minds, how does this act or change improve the quality of each child's education?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and avoid the rest of the stuff. Does this work? We know early childhood education has a huge impact. We're not even coming close to doing what we need to do there, or at the ages we need to do it. So I think that if we stay focused on what the real goal is, and if we start designing education for the customers, i.e. the kids,
yeah,
as opposed to the producers, i.e. the adults, I think we'll have different results.
So in your view, Mayor, a state takeover of this district would mean what?
I don't think there's going to be a state takeover of the district, quite frankly. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's where they're at. I think, in fact, the mere fact that they went through all these plans is an indication that they're trying to find a way to avoid that,
yeah,
and to do something else. I think that what we need to be looking at is recognizing a couple of things. Number one, what we have done up to this point has not produced the results that anybody is satisfied with. Period.
Mm-hmm.
And if we know that's true, then what are those things that we can and should do that will produce better results without regard to money, without regard to tenure, without regard to contracts, regard only to the kids and their education. And then we put the adult systems around that goal in such a way that the adults enhance the pursuit of the education. They're not just the ones who control it.
You know, Mayor, as you go about your day and you deal with so many different issues, you know, business recruitment being one of them, trying to push Kansas City ahead, as you talked about early on in our conversation this morning, to what extent does the school district still hold this city back, at least from your vantage point?
There are people who use that to beat us across the head and shoulders, quite frankly.
Still.
Yeah. And I think, first of all, I think they do it based on perception, not on reality, because as soon as you ask somebody a question about, okay, you say that, but what's your facts? They have no clue. They're driven by perception. They're driven by headlines. They're driven by turmoil. Okay, there are people who don't understand that there's 14 school districts in whole or in part in the city, and you know, there's education, quality education to be had in this city, but to hear a lot of people talk about it, they have to go elsewhere. Untrue. The other thing that, you know, we spend a lot of time on fact-checking, and the concept that some people have that KCPS is bad, stem to stern, is absolutely wrong. So we have to spend a lot of time trying to correct that.
Well, why don't you change the name of the district? If you're going to keep the district instead of getting rid of it, why don't you change the name, rebrand it?
Well, that's a good point. You might raise that with the school board or somebody who has the ability to do it. I don't. But, you know, on the other hand, I'm not afraid of keeping it as long as in keeping it we're willing to face up to the failures of the past and make sure that we're doing everything to succeed in the future. There is an opportunity here. And the opportunity that I see is to say, we recognize where we are. Here's what we're going to do to change it. We're in process of doing it. We're creating partnerships with people who can help us. We're going to have some measurable improving results for you in such and such a time period. We're on the move. And then you push out all the good news, because really what seems to happen is only the bad news gets out.
Yeah. I don't want to belabor the school district. So many other issues I want to get to here. But the fact that you were meeting privately with a group of community leaders sort of outside the Kansas City, Missouri school board itself, so how are you coordinating with them? Because they're the ones who have to implement anything that you guys come up with.
Well, the school board was represented by Eric Leonard West. The president of the board was there.
He was there.
Stephen Green, the superintendent, was there.
Okay.
The school district and Andrea Flinders, the head of teachers union, was there. We had the basis basically covered. Now, obviously, there were people who were upset that they weren't there, but, you know, we tried to keep the meeting down to 20. And we were able to do that. But we had a good cross-section, including people from the state school board. Parents were there. We had two students who were there.
Huh.
Because, I mean, after all, they're the consuming customer.
Yeah.
How many times do we check in with them and say, hey, what do you think about your education?
Mayor Sly James is here. Our phone number for your questions, 816-235-2888. Our email address, updatedate@kcur.org. You can also tweet us at @kcurupdate. Let's turn to streetcars, Mayor. There was a big development last month in this city's bid to build a streetcar system. The city council gave a green light to a streetcar funding district that would encompass, you know, much of Kansas City south of the river. If voters would go along, the district would help pay for 8 to 10 more miles of streetcar extensions here. This at a cost of a 1 cent sales tax increase. That's a big bump in the sales tax, Mayor, and the first streetcar still hasn't rolled down the tracks in Kansas City yet. What's your hurry?
What's our hurry?
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, there's a bunch of different things that we have to consider. Number one is we know what the atmosphere in Washington, D.C. is for this type of development now. We don't have any idea of what it's going to be like in 2016.
Meaning there's still money to be had.
Well, there's money to be had, and there's also a focus on this type of development. That could change with an election year in 2016. That's part of it. Number two, starting today means that if we are able to do everything without a whole lot of interference and noise, means that the rails will be up and people will be riding on rails in 2020. So, you know, waiting until we do it and it's 2025 kind of takes a little bit of the luster off of it.
But still, to ask voters for a 1 cent increase in the sales tax even before they've ridden one of these things, a lot of folks might say, wow, that's pretty fast.
Well, you know, I understand that, but what's the option? We should wait until when? Part of our problem now is we've waited too long. We had an opportunity to do this 20 years ago. We didn't take it. Everybody else did. They got tons of money from the federal government. Now we're around trying to find things under the cushion of the couch in the federal government because we've waited so long. It's not going to get any cheaper. The need isn't going to be any less by waiting. And the other thing about it, too, is that one of the things that we know and we've documented is that if you look at the development that sprung up in the downtown area adjacent to and as part of the streetcar line, why would we want to wait to spring more development east of Troost on Limwood or on Independence Avenue? $750 million of new stuff or renovated stuff downtown related to the streetcar, adjacent to the streetcar. Part of the considerations for doing it was the streetcar. So if we know that we can succeed in that area and bring jobs and money into the city, what are we waiting for?
What's the timetable here? And just speaking mechanically, Mayor, will the citizens of Kansas City know what the proposed extension, the second leg of the route's going to be? First leg running from River Market to Crown Center, second leg to be determined. Will they know what that second leg is and the route before they would vote on the 1 cent sales tax?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Where we are now is there are three routes that we're going to do. Okay. One is on Independence. The only question about Independence is terminus. Where will it end? And that is going to be something we're going to have to look at from an engineering standpoint and a cost standpoint. The second is going to be on either Linwood or 31st Street. Looks more like Linwood.
These are east-west routes. East-west
routes,
about.
Yeah. And that will probably go out to the VA hospital. The other route is the one that will go from Union Station to at least 51st Street. Okay. Whether it goes beyond 51st Street or not is a question.
Including whether it gets to campus or not, UMKC's campus.
Well, yeah. And that's one of the reasons that we wanted to go to at least 51st Street is to, if nothing else, be adjacent to, and particularly adjacent to the dorms and those types of things.
Yeah.
But adjacent to the campus and an easy walking distance. So then we connect all of those things up. And another part of that, too, is then to create a MAX line, a bus line on Prospect. So when you look at this, it looks like a long, elongated rectangle. Hmm. If you take the southern route of the streetcar all the way out to its most extreme terminus out south, then it would really be a connected triangle, a loop of transportation. Why is it important to do it? Because at some point in time, we have to realize that we're still building a city for the next 7,500 years. And despite people's objections, despite their unwillingness to look at it in some instances, when we're out looking for talent to come to this city, they're not looking for a place where they can drive all around town. They are demanding public transportation.
It's a new way of looking at the world, at least some people say, right?
Well, when we're looking for the people that we're looking for to fill the technical jobs that we're bringing to Kansas City, they're the ones that answered the survey of recent college graduates. Which would you rather have, an internet connection or a car? They picked internet connection.
That's interesting.
Well, yeah. They can get a Zip car.
When you were a kid, you wanted a car, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Everybody
we all did.
Yeah. I didn't know what an internet was. We got
back
on
in those
a bus.
Days, right? Yeah.
Hey, we got on a bus and went downtown and saw a big room with black boxes and blinking lights, and they said, that's a computer. Oh, boy.
Mayor Sly James is here. Our phone number, 816-235-2888. Let's go to some calls here. Marcia from Kansas City, Missouri. Good morning.
Good morning. My question is more trying to ask the question we just talked about, this Kansas City school, the Kansas City schools and the problems that we're having there. Mayor, could you describe or explain how the impact of good schools compares to the promotion of the streetcar project as a property value building project and a business building project?
How do you compare the two, Mayor?
I don't think I can compare the two. I think that there are similarities in that both quality in both areas will result in increased business opportunities. With schools, I think it's really less business opportunities at this stage from my perspective than neighborhood opportunities. Neighborhoods will not come back unless there's a quality school there. People leave neighborhoods because the schools don't function. They don't come to them because schools don't function. So if you put a school in the middle of a neighborhood and that school gains the reputation as being one of the best schools in the state, people will move to that neighborhood. They'll reclaim property. They will bring their kids. They will stay there. They will raise them there because that's what they're looking for is schools. So the neighborhoods would be the primary beneficiary, in my opinion, of increasing the perception of the quality of the KCPS school district. Streetcar is just as vital because it brings development, and development brings jobs. But we also need streetcar for transportation to some extent. Transportation these days is not simply a car. not everybody lives in Lee's Summit and needs to have a car to get into downtown. Some people live in the inner city, and they need transportation from there to maybe the downtown area or the plaza area or out south in order to get to a job. And the more options that we have in order to transport people from home to place B, C, or D, the better off we are. We have to get people moving around town in order to stimulate economic prosperity.
Marcia, thanks for the call. Virginia from Kansas City, Missouri writes us this at UpToDate at KCUR.org. Why is there no public transportation to the stadiums in Kansas City?
Huh.
I've wondered the same thing myself.
We used to have buses. And at some point in time, I think that from a budgetary standpoint, buses or ATA decided that that was not a profitable endeavor.
Yeah.
I'll be honest with you. I would love to find a way to have streetcar to the stadium.
Wouldn't that be something?
Because then we're hooking up the south and the north and the east and the west to get to a place. And the other reason that I'd love to have it is because I believe that it would increase the opportunities for development of the grounds around the stadium. Now, the problem we've got is it's some
long way out there.
It's a long way out there. You got to go over railroad tracks, yada, yada, yada. So our thought was is that if we ever get the commuter rail system, the county commuter rail system, we could hook up on Limwood and do that, because there's a way to get them across to Limwood and then to make that transfer, and you could go that way. But I don't know.
Donna from Shawnee asks us this, Mayor. What's the status of plans to make a Harlem Children's Zone in Kansas City? I haven't heard much about that for a while.
Non-existent.
Not going to happen?
No.
Too bad.
I think that people need to understand that the Harlem Children's Zone is the result of the efforts of a singular, bigger than life, I ain't taking no stuff from nobody individual in Jeffrey, Canada.
And this is a zone where all kinds of services are provided for families who live within this particular zone.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah. And it was so extensive that when he first started, he was sending runners to hospitals to contact pregnant mothers to talk about what they should be thinking about as they were about to deliver, getting them into the system so that they could provide nutrition training, job training, getting them ready to go out. It was a full service wraparound entity brought about by Jeffrey Canada, who is a fabulous individual. The book to read is Whatever It Takes. And I think if you read that book, you'll see what I'm talking about. So when our folks went there during the last administration, the first thing they did was they came back and they set up a committee. Canada is not a committee. He is his one-man committee. He makes the decisions. He gains the money. He puts the programs in place. He hires. He fires. You get into the committee thing, and basically what you're doing is you're establishing a de facto school board or something like that where everything gets filtered. Some things are better when you just have a bigger-than-life personality who can push things through, and he was able to do that. And frankly, I think that's one of the reasons why you don't see him set up across the country.
So he just isn't interested in Kansas City any longer, at least at this point, it doesn't sound like.
No, I don't think it's a matter of him not being interested. I think it's a matter of Kansas City not creating an infrastructure that would support it. There are too many school districts here. There are too many things that would have to be considered. He's got his hands full with the Harlem Children's Zone. It wasn't that he was going to come here and set it up.
Yeah.
It was that people from Kansas City went to talk to him about how to do our own, and that fell apart.
Let's do this. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll continue our good conversation with Mayor Sly James. We'll get to two of his favorite topics, KCI and crime in Kansas City. We'll take your phone calls at 816-235-2888. I'm Steve Kraske of the Kansas City Star, and you're listening to Up to Date on KCUR. Mayor, you know, so many hot issues. Two of them include crime and Kansas City International Airport. Let's talk about KCI, this plan that's being talked about to replace the three horseshoes with a single terminal up there. You get the sense, And maybe it's just me talking here based on what I'm hearing and reading, that the momentum seems to be moving away from the new single terminal plan that you've championed. Do you see it that way, or am I off base?
You're a little off base. Okay. Your assumption that I championed a single terminal is incorrect.
Okay.
The question that I used and gave to the commission when I set it up is, I want you to examine whether or not the current configuration of KCI is the best configuration for this city's airport at this time and into the future. And if not, what is? That's it. There is a big amount of space between absolutely nothing and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Someplace on that continuum, I believe, is something that makes sense. I do not believe that it is realistic or wise to simply say, you know what, we love KCI, don't touch it. Just leave it alone. That would ignore the reality of things that really do need to be done.
Yeah.
All right? I mean, we've got a 3-terminal airport, and we're using like 1.5 terminals. That should be a sign that something's not working well. One of them is completely closed. We had this conversation yesterday during the budget talk on Twitter, and somebody suggested that we make – somebody said, well, there's only a couple of community centers north of the river. Somebody suggested that we make Terminal A a community center. You know, I mean, since it's so convenient and all, I mean, you can just drive right up there,
right
hop
up there
out.
And hop out, yeah.
Exercise, no security, the whole bit. We're looking at a huge asset of this city that's been here for 40 years, built before the seminal aviation issue in the history of this country, 9/11. And to think that we can simply function at the highest possible level under those circumstances, I believe is incorrect. Now, what needs to be done to correct it? I don't know. That's why we have this commission looking at every nook and cranny and gathering information.
And just
facts
to be clear,
data.
This commission is not on a mission, you're saying. It may not come out with a recommendation that says a single terminal, a new terminal, is the way to go.
I have no idea what the recommendation is going to be. I've not attended any meetings.
You've got loaded the commission in that favor, in that direction.
No, I that's one of the reasons I don't go to the meetings, so that people can't say I was there steering the conversation. I have no idea of what they talk about. I don't get briefed on it. I will get their recommendation, and after I get their recommendation, I may double back and talk to people who were engaged to find out what the heck they were talking about.
And so the plan here is to get their recommendation by when, and then what happens?
I think that they're looking at having their recommendations in April.
April, right.
And then after we get the recommendations, then it'll go to council, and we will debate and chew on this and figure out what's what. We'll deal with our experts on it and find what's the best situation for Kansas City.
You know, there is some concern that folks say that if you don't build a new single terminal up there, that the cost – who pays for this new airport? If there's a new terminal, who pays for it?
Well, the same – well, any fees or changes at the airport are paid for by ticket fees, parking fees, concession fees. Things that are generated at the airport stay in the airport to take care of the needs of the airport.
If you build a new single terminal, will any money for that terminal come out of the current city budget?
No.
Okay. Separate areas.
No. The money from the airport can't be used for streets and sewers, none of that. I know a lot of people say, well, don't do it because we could use that money elsewhere. No, you can't.
Yeah.
You got airport money. Airport money stays with the airport. If you don't spend it on the airport, it doesn't get spent.
Okay, let's go to some phone calls here. Lots of folks with questions. Let's go to Caleb from Kansas City, Missouri. Caleb, good morning.
Good morning. This is Caleb Falvin, the Chief of Staff of the Student Government Association at UMKC. Just wanted to see, we took action to ensure that we showed our support for the streetcar. What else, Mayor, can we be doing to be, supporters of it and to ensure that we get that stop at 54.
Caleb, it's a little hard to understand you. You're saying you're connected with UMKC. I missed the first part of your comments.
Sorry, yeah. I'm the Chief of Staff with the Student Government Association.
Okay, I missed that part.
Sure.
You want to make sure so the streetcar line gets out to UMKC, right, Caleb?
And what do we need to do to ensure that?
I think that at this point, Caleb, you need to, A, make sure that you have all the facts that are at your disposal so that when you're talking to people, you're talking facts. Because a lot of times we find people are talking misunderstandings or misperceptions, and facts will often save the day. Number two, don't allow the negative approach to become the most vocal approach. There's a lot of people who think that because they're yelling the loudest that their position is the most valid. That's not true. What generally happens, at least in my experience, is that you hear a lot more from people who are against things than you do from people who are for them. It's time for the people who are for things to make sure that the people who are against them know that there's a lot of people for them. And number three, attend the meetings that we have. Engage like you have, I know, in the past, Caleb, to keep that out there and to show people that they're there. But I think we need some of our people who really are in favor to actually stand up and say why. I met a young man at the meeting that we attended the other day who says, who was there. I didn't even know he was there, but he said, I'm going to make my decision on whether I live here or in another city on this very type of issue.
Huh.
But, and I said, that would have been great to hear.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
That's the truth. And we need people to understand a lot of the folks who are against this are people who have been vested here. They're already here. They've lived most of their lives, if not close to all of it. We're not building the city for them. We're building the city for the next 75 years. This is, you know, we had a lot of people who protested the $1 million spent on City Hall 75 years ago. Way too much money. That's ridiculous. Yada, yada, yada. City Hall is serving this city well now and will for the next 75 years.
Caleb,
great investment.
I appreciate your phone call, Caleb. Let's go to Kevin from North Kansas City. Kevin, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm well. Thanks, Kevin.
Well, let me start this off by saying, Mr. James, I think you're doing a fantastic job.
Thank you.
I lived in San Diego for 6 years, and nothing changed our lives and made them easier than the San Diego Trolley, which was built by Herzog Contracting out of St. Joseph. And if you've ever been there, you would understand, people would understand how simple it is to jump on the trolley on the east side of town and take it all the way down to the Gasland Quarter in the downtown area and enjoy their evening or whatever they're doing that time, at that time. For a 1 cent sales tax increase, this is building the future of what is already a great city. And I cannot understand why anybody would not want to do this and see that you're building for the future, just like you said, the next 75 years. This is going to turn our city into a prominent city of our country, just like the San Diegos of this country.
I agree with you. And I've been to San Diego. I've been to the Gas Lamp District. I've ridden on the trolley. And it's really neat now because of the stadium. They built the stadium downtown for baseball. It's right there near the beach. People on and off, on and off, on and off, on and off.
Yeah.
Whatever we can do to get people circulating in this city, not just north and south, but east and west, is a good thing. And I understand why people would say that they don't want to pay a cent sales tax. I understand that. I'm not naive. It's just not an easy sell. But it's a necessary sell. It's an investment that we have to make. And it's never going to get any cheaper. And it's never going to be more vital. And it never has the opportunity to do more good than it does right now.
You know, speaking of circulating, and some folks are reluctant to circulate to the eastern side of the city, you know, in your State of the State address last month, Mayor, you said that the rate of violent crime in Kansas City is ridiculously high. That's a comment that could have been made in this town going back years and years, as you well know. You know, the storyline isn't changing. You can't convince a Republican General Assembly in Jeff City to crack down on gun ownership, as you've urged them to do, given the politics of that issue. So what reason, I mean, what anybody out there would have to think that this town has any better handle on crime today than it did 10 years ago?
KC Nova.
Mm-hmm.
It really is a great opportunity of partnership with the prosecuting attorney's office, U.S. attorney's office, police department, social services, UMKC, ATF, FBI, every agency that we need to do something.
And they're working together to do what? How does the program, what's the one-sentence definition here?
Identify those most responsible for violence in this city and take them out one way or the other. Either we take them out by getting them on some different path. In some instances, that's possible, and that's been one of the areas of success of KC Nova. Or we take them off by putting their butts in jail. Now, probably, I'm thinking here.
Yeah.
I would like to see our court involved. I would like to see our court open to the prospect of doing something a little bit different.
Municipal court you're talking about?
No. County court.
County court. District court, yeah.
A docket specifically for those who use guns in violence and in criminal acts so that we can accomplish a couple things. Number one, get them off the street and keep them off the street longer through bails or adjustments and those types of things, depending on the individual circumstances. Number two, speed the cases of gun violence up faster so that people who are witnesses or victims will not be afraid and not have to be afraid for 2 years before something happens. Cut that time in half if we can, so that we have more people willing to come through. And then to show people that when we say that you're gone, and take them off the street and hopefully encourage others who have issues like that or see things or are witnesses or victims to come forward earlier and easier so that we can do it and create that synergy. KC Nova has an excellent opportunity. Now, I will tell people, at least in my perception, that that means that some people are going to be watched closer, you know? And, you know, it's life. At this point, I want to make sure that those who are engaged in criminal activity are as uncomfortable as possible.
Yeah. Got to ask you before you leave. You're into Tai Chi.
Yes.
Tell me about that.
Oh, man, it's really a cool thing.
Couple of days a week. You get up early and go do it.
Yeah.
Good for you.
I got to do something. And Tai Chi is something I've had an interest in for a long time. We do it down at Blue Cross and Blue Shield with Royal Scanlon is our sensei. Royal's an old music guy from the 70s that we bumped around with. But there's a small group of us. It's growing. I think the 6 o'clock hour in the snow has not been conducive to building up membership. But Tai Chi is a martial art that is really akin to moving meditation.
Mm-hmm.
It's very good on the body, on the mind, and it gets you in touch with yourself. And it's not as easy as people may think.
You got to put some video of that up on your mayor's website sometime. I want to see that. I want to see you in action.
You might not want to after you watch.
That's Kansas City, Missouri Mayor Sly James. We're out of time. Always appreciate your time, Mayor. Thanks for coming in.
Anytime, Steve. Thank you very much.